Hello, world. You guys feeling a draft? NFL draft. The first word. Let's go around that horn. Spotlight on Jordan Love, the Utah State quarterback. Maybe a riser here. And I love this story from Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, this weekend, that there are at least a half a dozen teams doing extended, serious research on Love. Hey, talk to me in high school. I know all about extended, serious research on Love, but never bang up. Most interesting are the names of those teams. Washington and Miami both have top five picks. And then the New Orleans Saints, the Green Bay Packers, the New England Patriots, maybe interested in Jordan Love. Mina Kimes, I'm going to start going around the horn with you because you've been working the phones. Could Jordan Love be the sleeper jackpot pick of this draft?
I think it all depends on the team, Tony, because some of them, like perhaps you were not in high school, are ready for Love. And some are not. I like it when I hear teams like New Orleans and Green Bay that do not need a day one starter, obviously, because Jordan Love is not that. He is not ready to plug and play. When you watch his 2019 tape, you will see plenty of decisions that make you scratch your head. You will also see plenty of throws that make you smile. You will also hear his drop-off from 2018 to 2019 is due in large part to the fact that he had a new coordinator, lost his receivers, lost his offensive line. All of that context matters, but it also means we need time. Time for him to develop, time for a team to decide whether he's the guy, and some of those teams do have time.
Frank Isola, could Jordan Love be the sleeper pick of this draft?
Well, if he's going to be, we'll find out probably 2-3 years down the road, because Mina talked about the teams that are interested, and maybe the Patriots are the 23rd pick, New Orleans 24th, Green Bay is the 30th pick. All I know is if I'm in this draft, I want to be compared to Patrick Mahomes, so that's a pretty good start. But all the scouts talk about is big arm and a lot of talent. My question would be, which quarterback am I getting? Am I getting the one that 2 years ago threw for 32 touchdowns, 6 interceptions? This year, 20 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Right there, that tells you that he's a project.
Pablo Torre, let me ask it to you this way. Do you believe in Love?
I believe that Love in this case might be more Josh Allen than Patrick Mahomes, because we are talking about him using very familiar euphemisms like he has this arm that makes us smile, he's this pure passer, he's a great athlete. Which is to say that those 17 picks that Frank mentioned led the country. That was the most of anybody in terms of red zone QBR. The guy was bottom three. So he could be Josh Allen. And so the question then is he? And second of all, if he is that a good thing? And to me, the answer to that latter question is probably going to be no.
Mm-hmm. Frank, you want pick in?
Well, I think what Pablo was talking about, when you start saying Patrick Mahomes, that's going to be now the quarterback that everybody says, we're looking for the next Patrick Mahomes. Those kind of quarterbacks come along once in a generation. What you're looking to get here, especially if it's a team like New England, New Orleans, Green Bay, is can you develop a guy who can be a quality starter 2-3 years down the road? If you're looking for the next Patrick Mahomes, good luck. I'm not so sure one's going to be out there for probably the next 20 years.
Certainly juicy, though, when you bring up the Patriots possibly looking into this. Mina, talk to me about this quarterback draft real quick. I mean, 2 years ago, we had all the quarterbacks drafted, the Baker Mayfield draft, and all the quarterbacks underneath them. Does this year's draft rival that?
It's hard to say. I think there's a pretty steep drop-off after Tua. The first two quarterbacks have the potential to be, you know, absolute long-term starters in the NFL. Love is a question mark. Herbert, I think, has some limitations. But I want to remind people this about Patrick Mahomes. He sat for a year, and he was also in the perfect system. If Patrick Mahomes had ended up, say, in Jacksonville, there's no saying he would be exactly what he is today. Fit is everything when it comes to rookies.
I want two words or fewer, let's say. We started off with Jordan Love. Let's end with Jordan Love. Where is he drafted in this draft? Mina Kimes?
I'm going to go New England.
All right. I'll allow it, even though it was more than two words. And how about you, Frank Isola?
Packers at 30.
Mm-hmm. And Pablo Torre.
Pittsburgh Steelers. A trade.
After everything you just said, you had him going at 30, Frank Isola. That's
a first-round pick.
Okay, I thought some would say top 10. We'll move on. Buy or sell portion of the program. Let's go. Sports. Why the long competition? This was solely the first round. But we got a chance to look at everybody's court. Paul Pierce's was next to a castle. And Chauncey Billups, Mike Conley, Zach LaVine, and Allie Quigley won this 100 years war. Whether anybody truly won, I'll let you debate. Frank Isola, we'll start with you. Was this good? Or are you in a place where you can't blame them for trying? Or you can blame them for trying?
I'm going to blame them for the matchups. Why is it that Tamika Catchings is outdoors in the freezing cold and Mike Conley has got a home gym that he's shooting in? Huge advantage, Mike Conley. And then the other one is Zach LaVine, one of the premier athletes in the NBA, is going up against retired Paul Pierce. And by the look of it, Paul Pierce is retired. And that outfit he had on, what, he just come back from a shift with the U.S. Coast Guard? I mean, even everything about that was bad. Give Zach LaVine is winning this competition because he's going to do all these crazy things, and instead of dunking, he's just going to lay it in.
Pablo Torre?
I just want ESPN to really lean into this notion that actually what we're here to do is ESPN Cribs, because getting to see where Paul Pierce lived, yeah, getting to see what
right
that
now
career gets you, getting to see where Mike Conley's career got him, the guy, we make fun of certain broadcasters, Tony, for having oil paintings of themselves above their mantles. Conley had a mural of himself that made him look like a supreme leader. Like, kudos to Mike Conley, but I kind of want to see what else in that house sort of resembles Mike Conley.
Mita Kimes.
I'm buying Zach LaVine and Allie Quigley, who know how to play horse and make it entertaining. I mean, Allie doing the Pistol Pete sitting down, the bank shot was a highlight for me. I am selling Trey Young's Wi-Fi connection. Sorry, Trey. And like my colleagues, I am investing in whatever Mike Conley has been investing in, because holy smokes, that gym, my house could fit in there.
Paul Pierce's court as well. Paul Pierce,
nice.
He had that castle next to him. I saw J.E. Skeets on Twitter say, that's Bowser from Super Mario's castle. That's what it looked like to me as well. That's our buy or sell portion of the program. You guys know how this works. I need to eliminate somebody right now. Mita Kimes won the football discussion. I think we'd all agree. She was on the phone talking to scouts right before we got on here. And Frank Isola, you brought down the hammer for the horse competition. So, Pablo Torre, please take a front row seat to showdown Mita Kimes versus Frank Isola. The showdown topic, number 21 with the Atlanta Falcons. Who is it? We all know who it is.
It's primetime.
At least it was primetime. Now number 21 is Todd Gurley. Gurley said, Dion told him, you can't have 21, but Gurley's going to do it anyway. And now Dion is telling us, oh, he was just joking. Mita, let me ask you, who do you believe? And should Gurley be able to wear number 21 with the Falcons?
Yes. First, if Younghoe Koo, the onside kick god, can wear number 7 in Atlanta, then Todd Gurley can wear number 21. I do think it was a joke because he didn't get worked up when Desmond Trufant wore it the first time.
Mm-hmm. And Frank, I stole your argument.
Deion Sanders, what did he spend 15 years with Atlanta? He won multiple Super Bowls. Who is he? I almost wanted Todd Gurley, and I know I hate it when people say this to me. It's almost like Todd Gurley should have said, okay, Boomer, you don't worry about 21. It's now my number. How does Deion Sanders own that number?
An okay, Boomer.
That is an expression you are very familiar with, I would imagine, Frank.
Unfortunately.
Just hearing it from people in the street. Okay, that's a hot take, and that's going to get Frank Isola 30 seconds of FaceTime. Here it is, our first SportsCenter champion in the Around the Horn era.
And as everybody knows, we're all going through such a difficult time, and I want to extend my condolences to Carl Anthony Towns' family. His mom, Jackie, passed away today. My wife and my sisters-in-law were friendly with Jackie. Every year they would come here for a charity walk. So God bless the Carl Anthony Towns and his family, and also a guy that I got to know over the past couple of years, Anthony Causey of the New York Post. I know a lot of people have seen his pictures. You've seen guys like Derek Jeter, Noah Syndergaard reach out to Anthony. He'd be a guy I'd see all the time at Madison Square Garden. Took some of the most iconic photos of the last 25 years. So our condolences to both of those families today.
I was reading from his colleague, Andrew Marchand at the New York Post today, that the skill level behind the camera was equal to the skill of the people he was shooting, the legends he was shooting.
Yeah.
A terrible loss. He had so much more to capture. Mita Kimes, Pablo Torre, Frank Isola, today's champion. Thank you for joining us. You know what we say now, but this way, a 24-and-a-half-hour break. A SportsCenter catch. Oh, reality. What a terrible throw.